After absorbing all these attack ads, voters will cast their ballots in November to decide which way their states will vote in the Electoral College. Slate's Timothy Noah says it's time to get rid of this indirect way of choosing our presidents.
I believe the best possible outcome for the 2004 presidential election would be for John Kerry to lose the popular vote but win in the Electoral College. That's partly because I'm a big D Democrat. I want Kerry to win, and this scenario would satisfy my partisan thirst for payback over this speech Al Gore had to give 4 years ago.
Now the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken. Let there be no doubt. While I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it. I accept the finality of this outcome, which will be ratified next Monday in the Electoral College.
But I also have a strong interest as a little D Democrat in Kerry losing the popular vote. That's because it would give both parties a common interest in abolishing the Electoral College and establishing the nationwide popular vote as our way of electing presidents. Polls have shown that most Americans consider the Electoral College to be an 18th century anachronism that ought to go. But there's a general feeling that it can't be done. The theory goes that states with small populations like the system because it gives them more power, and so they'll never agree to a constitutional amendment abolishing the college. The good news is, there's a way to show small states that a direct popular vote is in their interest. When you vote for president, your vote is tallied along with the votes of everyone else in your state. Whichever candidate wins the state is awarded all that state's electors. The exceptions are Nebraska and Maine, which apportion electors in line with vote percentages. The small state advantage in the Electoral College is real. It comes from the fact that each state gets an elector for each of its House seats, plus two for its two senators. That plus two gives smaller states more clout than their populations justify. So, yes, the Electoral College, as laid out in the Constitution, makes small states more powerful than they would be under a popular vote system. Most people tend to forget something, however. It's the states, not the Constitution, that decide how electors are awarded. And the winner-take-all system in 48 states skews voting power in the opposite direction. That's where large states get a huge advantage. The book Electoral College Primer 2000 calculated that when you combined both factors, you got a surprising result. Voters in California, Texas, and New York enjoyed higher than average voting power under the Electoral College. And those in Montana, Kansas, and West Virginia endured lower than average voting power. All told, 44 states, including all the small ones, would either gain relative voting power or see it essentially unchanged if they switched to a popular vote system. You only need 38 states to approve a constitutional amendment. Some people sincerely believe that the Electoral College ought to remain because it makes states, rather than voters, the building blocks of victory. But I think most people, when they vote for president, view themselves as participating in a national decision, not a state one. I propose that we bring reality in line with this noble misperception. Abolishing the Electoral College is very doable. Regardless of how the 2004 election turns out, let's get started.
Opinion from Timothy Noah, who writes the Chatterbox column for Slate.